the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, let's get right into the week of baseball. Starting with on Monday night, Albert Pujols, the dude is on a tear right now. He is closing in on 700 career home runs, and he hit home run 693 on Monday night. And he ended up, that was his 449th pitcher who he's hit a home run off of, and that ties Barry Bonds for the most in Major League Baseball history. So that just says a lot about Albert Pujols and just the insane career that he's had. And, you know, I really would like to see him break that 700 mark. I really hope he does it this season. And he kind of seems like he's pretty determined to get there. I mean, he's been on fire the last couple of weeks, and I'd expect him to just keep it going all the way through the rest of the season. Then in that same game, Montgomery, who the Cardinals just traded for from the Yankees a couple weeks ago, he has turned out to be a gem for this team. You know, he was pitching pretty well for the Yankees, but nothing out of control. But man, he has really turned it on for the Cardinals ever since he came over to the Cardinals. And he actually pitched a shutout against the Cubs, and that was actually his first career shutout of his entire career. So that just says a lot. That this Cardinals team is just really getting it going at the right time. And they're a really solid team. They got it going on offensively. They've got it going on with their starting pitching that's really starting to gel. The bullpen is okay. It's kind of shaky. If I were to point to any type of weakness that they have, it would definitely be their bullpen. But outside of that, man, the Cardinals are a team you really don't want to play this time of year because they get hot, and they are a postseason team. They know how to win. So look out for the Cardinals. Then also this week, it was announced that owner Artie Moreno of the Los Angeles Angels is looking into selling the team. So this looks like this is potentially the next team, next sporting franchise that's going to go up for sale. And so if you got a couple billion dollars, go out and get the Angels, because that would be a good buy. Even though throughout his tenure, the Angels have pretty much been an awful team. He has done nothing to make this team a really good team. They've also had some kind of fucked up things happen along the way as well. You know, you had Tyler Skaggs, their pitcher, a couple years ago, who OD'd during the season while they were at a away game here in Texas. So that happened. There's just been issues over the last couple of years with him trying to get a new stadium. There was a deal in place, but then there turned out to be this whole corruption thing that happened with the mayor of Anaheim. So that ended up falling through. Then years ago, you also had they had that young pitcher who ended up dying in that drinking and driving accident. So there's been a lot of issues over the years while Moreno has owned the Angels, and none of them have been this team as a winning team. So we'll see what happens with the Angels. And, you know, like I said, if you've got a couple billion dollars, you might want to go look into investing in the Angels. Hopefully you'll make them a better team than Artie Moreno has turned them into during his time as the owner. Then on Tuesday night, Justin Verlander, he is just having one of the greatest seasons of his entire career. And that says a lot, because dude has had one of the most phenomenal pitching careers ever. And he had 10 strikeouts, went six innings, had no hit through six innings. They did eventually pull him in the sixth inning, but I mean, he was pitching lights out. He ended up getting his 16th win, which leads the league right now. This was against the Minnesota Twins. And Justin Verlander, I really don't think there's any argument that this is the Cy Young winner in the AL, at least in my opinion. He has just been dominating. And it's crazy, too, because we've had a lot of old guys this year really step it up. You know, I was just talking about Albert Pujols. He's having a great year, but he's not dominating like he used to. Then you have Clayton Kershaw. He's playing well when he plays, but he's been injured now twice this season alone. So he hasn't been able to maintain a solid pitching rep like Verlander has. Man, Verlander has been lights out this season, and that says a lot because he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and sometimes that will mess up your entire career, especially when you're old. And Verlander, he is just proving that he is one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and he continues to dominate with the Astros this season. Then on Tuesday, the MLB also announced they released the schedule for the 2023 season, and it's been announced for the first time ever in the 2023 season, every Major League Baseball team, all 30 teams, will play each other at some point in the 2023 season, which I think is fucking awesome. I've never really understood why all 30 teams don't play each other. Over the years, you could tell that it's been growing, that they've been trying to make it, because, you know, like 10 years ago, it used to be you would only play AL teams like in July, you know, for a week or two in July, and that would be it. Then they started ramping it up where they were just kind of throwing it in the mix where you would randomly play this team, you would randomly play that team, and they'd spread it out a bit more. Now next year, it is for sure every single team will be playing each other at some point in the 2023 season, and that I think that's great. Just makes the game more interesting, and I don't see why they haven't been doing that from the jump, but especially with how many games are played during the baseball season. So we will finally, that will be the big change for the 2023 season. Then on Wednesday night, O'Neill Cruz, the rookie shortstop of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who's just been, they called him up to the major leagues, he has really turned it on. A lot of people may not hear about him because he's in Pittsburgh. I imagine this is going to be the next Pittsburgh Pirates star who really has an excellent career. He really begins to excel up there, and then they'll probably trade him at some point and get some random prospects to never be a good team ever again. But anyways, he's like 6'7", which is just crazy. Because yes, there are tall guys, of course, in baseball, but he just looks really fucking tall. And he can rake too, man. Like when he hits a home run, it is like gone. It looks kind of similar to Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees. When he hits a home run, it's just boom, out of the park, as fast as lightning. Well, O'Neill Cruz on Wednesday just hit the fastest home run ball in Major League Baseball history with an exit velocity of 122.4 miles per hour. And before that, I just brought up Giancarlo Stanton. He actually owned the four previous fastest exit velocity out of a stadium home run hit ball. So congratulations to O'Neill Cruz. He did that versus the Atlanta Braves on Wednesday. And he's actually been a really fun player to watch. It just sucks that he's in Pittsburgh. So we'll see what he does over the next couple of seasons in Pittsburgh, but I'm sure he's going to get traded at some point because that is what Pittsburgh does with all of their good prospects. Then also on Wednesday, George Kirby of the Seattle Mariners, he started a game with 24 straight strikeouts. That's never happened in the history of Major League Baseball. So he did that. Then also in that same exact game versus the Washington Nationals, Julio Rodriguez, he joined the 2020 club, which means he hit 20 home runs and had 20 stolen bases. He's the first Seattle Mariner to do that since 2002, so it's been a minute. But also the shitty thing for the Seattle Mariners is that they ended up losing this game, even though they had two phenomenal things occur during this game from two great players, but the Mariners just, they weren't able to get it done versus the shitty-ass Nationals. Then also on Wednesday, Valdez, speaking of starting pitching with the Astros, Framber Valdez, he had his 21st quality start on Wednesday with the Houston Astros, which is a Houston Astros record. And that just says a lot, man. I just finished talking about Verlander. I've actually been talking about the Astros starting pitching all season. I feel like they have the best starting pitching by far. All of their pitchers are dominating. Their bullpen is dominating, even though one of their closers, Presley, he was put on the injured list this just yesterday. But I mean, overall, this starting pitching is really, really fucking good. And they just keep getting better as the season goes on. So really look out for the Astros come playoff time, especially with this pitching. Then yesterday, Paul Goldschmidt, he has had a phenomenal season and he just continues to rake it in. He hit 2 home runs yesterday versus the Chicago Cubs and drove in 5 RBI. So he's having a great year. I believe he bumped his batting average up to .332 yesterday, which leads the league in batting average, which he's either led the league or been in the top like 2 or 3 all season long. Definitely a candidate for the NL Cy Young or NL MVP award. Then also yesterday, Aaron Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies, he has been such an amazing starting pitcher for them since they called him up a couple years ago. He threw a complete game shutout yesterday, the 5th of his career, by the way. He threw it against the Cincinnati Reds in a 4-0 win for the Philadelphia Phillies. And since we are closing in on the playoffs, I feel like every Friday now, I'm going to go ahead and give you kind of an outlook on the MLB playoff picture because now, let's see, it's August 26th, and the playoffs begin, I think, October 6th. So we're about a month, probably about a month and a half out from the playoffs. So now the playoff picture is really starting to get going. I think definitely we have 3 teams that I think have already won their divisions just because they have such a huge lead. But other than that, it's probably going to keep shaking up all the way until the very last game. So let's start off in the AL. Right now in the AL East, the Yankees have a 7.5 game lead on the Tampa Bay Rays. Then in the AL Central, the Cleveland Guardians have a 4-game lead on the Minnesota Twins. And then in the AL West, the Houston Astros have a 12.5 game lead on the Seattle Mariners. Now, like I said, I do think a couple of teams already have their divisions on lock, one of them being the Astros because they do have a 12.5 game lead, and I really don't see anybody else in their division stepping it up. And then the Yankees, while the Rays are really starting to get hot, and I do believe that there's one team in their division who could overtake that division from the Yankees would be the Rays. I still think the Yankees, they've got such a huge lead that they should be good, and also they did just get Stanton back yesterday, and they've won 4 games in a row now, so they seem to be getting back on track, but those are the 2 teams in the AL that I think definitely have their divisions on lock. Then when you look at the wild card spots right now, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Seattle Mariners are the top 3 teams right now for the wild card spots. Then right behind them, the 3 teams right behind them kind of vying for those last wild card spots. The Baltimore Orioles are 2.5 games out. The Minnesota Twins are 5 games out. And then the Chicago White Sox are 5 games out. So that's the way the AL looks like right now. Then over in the NL, in the NL East, the Mets have a 2-game lead on the Atlanta Braves. Then the NL Central, the Cardinals have a 6-game lead on the Milwaukee Brewers. And the NL West, the Dodgers have a 19.5 game lead on the San Diego Padres. So turning over to the NL, the Dodgers obviously have their division on lock with a 19.5 game lead. Basically, they'd have to have the most epic collapse of all time, which I would be rooting for since I fucking hate the Dodgers. But there is no way in hell that's going to happen, especially because the Padres suck right now. And the Giants suck right now. And the Diamondbacks suck right now, and the Rockies suck right now. So there's absolutely no way in hell the Dodgers are going to be losing this division at any point in time. So it's safe to say that the NL West has been won by the Dodgers, at least in my opinion. And then moving down to the wild card, the top 3 spots right now are the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the San Diego Padres. Then behind them would be a 1.5 back, the Milwaukee Brewers, 5.5 games back, my shitty-ass San Francisco Giants, which is actually absolutely laughable that they even have a shot there. I don't think they have a shot. Quite frankly, I don't think they should make the playoffs because they're such a god-awful team. But hey, they're still 5.5 games back of that wild card. And then 10.5 games back of the wild card are the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that's the way the MLB playoff picture is looking right now. And like I said, we've got about a month and a half left, so it should get interesting here the next month and a half. All right, now turning over to the NBA, we had a couple things happen this week in the NBA, starting off with, it's been officially announced that Kevin Durant is going to stay with the Brooklyn Nets. Not really sure what happened, if this was really just kind of a bluff calling thing, or just the Nets were like, yeah, sorry, dude, you're not getting traded. Regardless of what happened, it's looking like Kevin Durant is going to be staying with the Nets, which I kind of feel like why would he have been traded anywhere else? Who would he have been traded to? That would have been kind of stupid to trade him away if you're the Nets, unless you're getting something really good. And I kind of have a feeling that's what happened, is that they kind of felt the market out, didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, and they were just kind of like, you know what, dude, you're either going to play for us or you're not. So get over it, or don't get paid to play basketball, whatever. So it looks like he's going to be staying with the Nets, at least for now. Then also this week, Chet Holmgren, the second overall pick in the draft this year, he was playing in a pro-am league, something of which a lot of NBA players tend to do in the offseason. But unfortunately for Chet Holmgren, he ended up tearing his Lisfranc in his right foot, and he is going to be out for the rest of the season. He didn't even get to play one game in his rookie season. And I got to say, I'm not really shocked. I mean, this was actually a concern that I had brought up a couple months ago when we had the NBA draft. And I wasn't really sold on this guy just because I couldn't really, you couldn't really tell if he was going to become that injury-prone guy because he is so skinny and tall. And it looks like he's starting his career off as the injury-prone guy, and he's not even going to get to play a game in his rookie season. So that sucks, but also at the same time, you play for the Oklahoma City Thunder, so it probably wasn't going to be a good season anyways. And then the last bit of NBA news, Donovan Mitchell, the trade rumors are really starting to get going for him. They've been bubbling up for basically the entire offseason, but nothing's really happening. But it sounds like there's another team that is interested in Donovan Mitchell, and that would be my Los Angeles Lakers. And that is a rumor that I'm hoping turns out to be true, because I would fucking love to see Donovan Mitchell in a Lakers uniform. I love the guy. Not only is he great on the offensive side of the ball, but he's also a good defender, and that's what the Lakers really needed, is a defender. I don't know if this is something that's actually going to happen with the Lakers. It would be great if it did. But when I read that, I was like, all right, that's actually a good rumor. It's way better than hearing the possibility of Kyrie Irving being who we trade for. But the Lakers actually did make a pretty decent signing yesterday. They traded for Patrick Beverley from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, obviously, he's not some game changer like Donovan Mitchell would be. But he's a very scrappy player. He's just a good overall player to have on your team. It was kind of ridiculous to see him crying in his one little playoff win he had against the Clippers earlier in this past postseason in the playoffs. But that was kind of lame. But overall, he's a pretty good player, and I think he's going to fit right in with what the Lakers have going on. All right, now let's get on to my NFL season predictions. Now we will discuss the AFC and NFC West teams. So let's go ahead and start off in the NFC West. Actually, before I get started, I did want to mention something that I've always hated that always happens every single training camp. It doesn't matter what team we're discussing. It doesn't matter what player we're discussing. But one of the stupidest things, one of the dumbest headlines, one of the dumbest articles I always hate reading or hearing about are, oh, so-and-so just had the best training camp of their life. Like, that's, to me, it just spews bullshit, and that we're just trying to talk up something that's not actually going to happen. And I mean, it happens all the time. There isn't really a specific instance that comes to mind right now, but like, you hear it all the time during training camp. And every time I hear it or I see the headline, I'm just like, what are you trying to sell, yo? Like, just once they hit the field, we'll see how they play. We don't need to see your stupid ass headlines of, oh, so-and-so's had the greatest training camp of their life. Like, that really translates into some type of wins on the field. No, that doesn't translate into anything besides a stupid, idiotic headline. So I know it's an idiotic rant of mine, but it's just something that I've seen probably every day since training camp started this season. And it's getting really annoying because not everybody is having the greatest training camp of their lives. Dumb. But anyways, let's get on to my NFL season predictions, starting with the NFC West. This year, I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to win the NFC West. I think their overall record is going to be 13-4. I don't really see any problems with the Rams. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl. They're still basically the same team. As a matter of fact, I think the improvements they made this offseason are actually better than what they were last year. So really the only big losses of this offseason were Von Miller and Andrew Whitworth. Now, Andrew Whitworth, he's been one of their perennial offensive linemen for many years, and he ended up retiring this offseason. And then Von Miller, they did trade for him in the middle of the season, and he definitely was a huge help, especially come playoff time last year. But I still don't think he's like that big of a loss, especially with who they signed in the offseason. They signed Bobby Wagner, and I think he's just as good, if not better, than Von Miller. So they didn't lose anything there. And then as a matter of fact, I think they got better on the offensive side of the ball because they ended up signing Allen Robinson, who spent the last few years in Chicago. And he was carrying that offense when he wasn't injured. But now that he's with the Rams, I think he's definitely going to flourish. And he's probably going to have a very, very good season. Just because, you know, they've got Cooper Kupp already. So it's not like everything's going to have to rely on Allen Robinson. I would say really the only main concern for the Rams, obviously, is Matthew Stafford's elbow. That's been kind of something that they've discussed all throughout training camp. He really hasn't practiced a lot just because they want to make sure he's good to go for the season. But other than that, I mean, the Rams, they're still a solid team. They still have all their main players. Like I just stated, they've got Cooper Kupp still. They have Matthew Stafford. They still have their great coach, Sean McVay. They still have Aaron Donald at the defensive tackle position. And they're just a really good, solid overall team. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. So really, I don't have anything bad to say about them. Other than, I'd say the only weakness that I could really find on this team would be the running back position. Just because they don't really have anybody who's going to, I guess, be a game changer, but they've got a good enough running game where they'll definitely make it through. But they don't really rely on that ground attack. They definitely rely on Matthew Stafford getting the ball to all of his wide receivers, and then obviously their defense is one of the best in the league, and I have a feeling they're still going to be one of the best in the league. So I've got the Rams winning the NFC West. Then coming in second place, I have the Arizona Cardinals with a record of 10-7. I think a lot of their offseason drama is going to be the reason why they're not going to excel at the rate we would all think they would. Because coming off of last season, it was a very awful end. Obviously not the worst ending you could possibly have, but it wasn't a good ending. They didn't show up in that playoff game, and they really petered out towards the end of the season. But usually what happens is you can build off of that. Well, a lot of this offseason drama, I think, really stalled them and is going to be the reason why I feel like they're going to kind of have an up-and-down season. You know, 10-7 is not a horrible record. I still think they're going to be a playoff team, but I think they're going to have their bumps in the road. First of all, they're going to start the season off with no DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver. He's suspended for the first, what, 6 or 8 games? I can't recall, but he's suspended for the first half of the season because of a positive PED test. And he is a huge part of their offense. He's a great weapon to have, and he made Kyler Murray look a lot better than he actually is. So I think that's going to be a big issue to start the season off. They did lose Christian Kirk in the offseason, so that's going to cost them. But they gained Marquise Brown, but he just got arrested for driving over 100 miles per hour, so who knows if that dude's going to even be on the field or if he's going to get end up getting suspended at some point, because that's a good possibility. But, you know, this, just all this drama, I feel like is not a good way to enter the season. They also lost running back Chase Edmonds, and they lost their probably their best defender from last year, and that would be Chandler Jones, who was having a phenomenal season until he got injured towards the end of the season. So they did lose a lot of key players. They added Will Hernandez on the offensive line, which I think is a good move. And then, like I said, they added Marquise Brown as well. But I don't think he's the type, I don't think he's a game-changing type of receiver, especially he's not on DeAndre Hopkins level at all. So I have a feeling the Cardinals are going to be a decent team, but they're not going to be a great team. Also, defensively, I worry about them. Their front seven, not that good. It's actually pretty old and very injury-prone. So I kind of have a feeling we're just going to see the Cardinals have show some flashes of greatness at times, but then have some really, really bad games. Then coming in at number three in the NFC West, I have the San Francisco 49ers with an overall record of 9-8. Now, my big thing with them is their quarterback, Trey Lance. Overall, the Niners have a pretty solid team around Trey Lance. They didn't really lose a lot this offseason. They lost Josh Norman, who wasn't like a game-changing player. And they did lose Raheem Mostert, their running back, but he didn't play most of last year either. So it's not like he didn't play. So it's not like they're really missing a lot. But Trey Lance, he's got a great offensive line in front of him. And he does have a pretty good receiving core. I mean, they did just get Deebo Samuel locked in to a contract extension, so they've got him. Then they've also got Brandon Ayuk, who's apparently been having a great training camp. They've been talking about how he's been excelling and looking better than he has in years past. So it's looking like he's going to have a breakout year. And then George Kittle, of course, he's one of the top tight ends in the league. But so far the word on Trey Lance is that he's not accurate in any way, shape, or form. And that's pretty much been the word on him even since last year. So with all the unknown with him, it's really difficult for me to actually think the Niners are even going to be a playoff team this year. Now, I think they're going to be a decent team because they do have a good defense as well. So I think they're going to get some good wins, but I think they're going to be a very streaky team where they're going to get a good win and then they're going to lose and then they're going to get a good win and then they're going to lose, which is why I've got them at 9-8 because I don't think they're that good of a team, but I don't think they're that bad of a team. I just see them being a kind of a middle of the road team who struggles at quarterback. Then finishing last in the NFC West, I've got the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 2-15. I think this is one of the worst teams in the league. They've got one of the worst rosters in the league. They got rid of two of their best players, their best offensive player. They traded away Russell Wilson, and then they got rid of their best defensive player in Bobby Wagner. And these two guys have been carrying both offensive defense for many years. But basically, the only good players on this team are DK Metcalf and Golden Tate. Outside of that, this team is pretty bad. Offensive line is awful. The quarterback position is going to be between Geno Smith and Drew Lock, two awful quarterbacks who aren't better than a backup position on any team in the league. Defensively, they're going to be trash. So I really expect the Seahawks to be battling it out between the Texans and the Falcons as the three worst teams in the league, and battling it out to see if they could actually get a win this season and to see who gets the first pick in the 2023 draft next year. Then moving on to the AFC West, which by far is definitely the best division in the league. When you look at every team here, they all potentially have a shot at the playoffs. Now, obviously, only one of them can win the division, but the other three can actually make the wild card spots. And I really think every team in this division is capable of making the playoffs. Now, I don't have all three of them making the playoffs. I actually have two of the four teams making the playoffs from this division. So let's get right into it. I have the Los Angeles Chargers actually winning this division with an 11-6 record. Really, their only major loss this offseason was Chris Harris, the cornerback, but they made up for it. They really worked on the defense this year. They added J.C. Jackson, who was one of the top cornerbacks in the league last year. Now, he is going to miss the first month of the season, unfortunately, because he just got injured last week and had to have surgery, I believe, on his foot. So he's going to be out for at least a month. But when he gets back, he's definitely going to – he's one of the best in the league. Then they ended up trading for Khalil Mack as well. And then they picked up Kyle Van Noy also. So they really worked on this defense. Because offensively, they're not a bad team. I mean, you've got Justin Herbert, who's only going to get better this year. They have a stout receiving core, a really good offensive line. And then you've got Austin Ekeler, who's a very solid running back, especially in the passing game. So offensively, there are no questions in my mind about how good the Chargers are. But their defense is what kind of let them down last year. I think they would have been a much better team last year if they actually had a somewhat decent defense. And this year, they went all in. And I mean, when you get J.C. Jackson, who was right up there with Diggs last year in interceptions, and you got Khalil Mack, who's really been one of the most solid defensive ends slash linebackers in the league since he hit the league. And then you got Kyle Van Noy, who's just a workhorse, and he's just an excellent linebacker. Those are great additions to the defense. So I really think the Chargers really improved their team, and I think they are going to win this division. Then coming in at second place, I have the Denver Broncos, overall record of 10-7, and really they did what they needed to do, and that was get a quarterback. They traded for Russell Wilson this offseason, which was the best move that this team possibly could have made. And the reason why is because overall, the Broncos are not a bad team. Their defense is pretty damn good. They added Randy Gregory as well. So now they've got a really solid front seven. Their secondary is locked down. And now on the offensive side of things, they don't have a lot going on at the receiver position, but Russell Wilson is one of those quarterbacks who has always made his receivers better. So I just see him kind of working with what he's got and making his receivers much better. And then at the running back position, it's not too bad. Offensive line's not too bad. But getting Russell Wilson is huge. And I think the Broncos are going to be a good team. I think they're going to be a good team for years to come now, especially just because Russell Wilson is, in my personal opinion, I definitely put him as one of the top five quarterbacks in the league today. And he's a game changer, and I think he's going to fit right in with the Denver Broncos and be exactly what they've been missing over the last couple of seasons since Peyton Manning retired. Then I have the Las Vegas Raiders coming in at third place in the AFC West with a 9-8 record. I think they did a lot to improve this team. Signing Josh McDaniels as your coach, I think is a big deal. And they really, they made some good additions as well by trading for Davante Adams. So now they have a number one receiver, which is exactly what they needed because that they did not have that last year. They have a bunch of solid backup receivers, a bunch of guys who could be a number two or three receiver, but they never had a number one. Now they finally have that number one in Davante Adams, who also has a history with Derek Carr because they did go to college together. So I think that's also going to work in their favor. So offensively, I don't really have any questions about the Raiders. Their offensive line is it's okay. They've got Josh Jacobs as their running back, who's been a solid running back the last couple of seasons. And then you've got Derek Carr, who's really just, I don't think, ever really gotten a fair shot just because, you know, he's had so many offensive coordinators, so many different coaches, gone through so much bullshit. The team has moved from Oakland to Vegas. So I think Derek Carr finally has a solid offense to work with. Then they also picked up Chandler Jones this offseason to make the defense at least somewhat better. But I think the problem for the Raiders this season is going to be their defense. Their secondary is not good at all. And their front seven outside of Chandler Jones, not good at all. So I kind of have a feeling the combination of them being in this tough division that's going to beat up on each other for sure. The AFC West teams are all going to beat up on each other, which is why I have the Chargers and the Broncos, I feel like, are going to make the playoffs. But neither one of them are going to be the top seeds. And the reason why I think that is because this division is going to beat the shit out of each other. So with that being said, and then also the fact that they've got a weak defense, they've got a new coach, so this is kind of a new team working into a new system. I still think the Raiders are going to have some growing pains, and this is going to be just a kind of a mediocre season for the Raiders. And then rounding out the AFC West, which I don't think a lot of people have this team rounding out the AFC West, but I mean, I had to, and the reason why I have the Kansas City Chiefs finishing in fourth place in the AFC West with an 8-9 record is because, like, they pretty much lost way more than they gained this offseason. Yes, they still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid as their coach. So, yes, you're still good there. But, I mean, really, they lost Tyreek Hill, who's outside of the tight end position with Kelsey, he's pretty much been their main source of offensive output, and he's made some huge plays in the playoffs, and he's really been their big playmaker over the years. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this offense works without Tyreek Hill. They also lost Tyrann Mathieu and Daniel Sorensen on the defensive side of the ball, and their defense has never been good. It's been halfway decent at best. And those two have really been the only bright spots over the last couple of seasons. And now the both of them are gone. They did add Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling this offseason. So their wide receiving core is okay. But for the most part, their wide receivers are a bunch of number twos. So they're all dudes who are productive when the pressure isn't on them, but now the pressure is going to be on all of them. And I think their offense is really going to suffer. Also, at the same time, they've done nothing to improve the running back position. They continue to ride with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has done shit. Ever since he was drafted, they've been talking about how this guy's going to just, like, be the next great running back. And the dude has done nothing but get injured. And when he's not injured, he doesn't have any of these flashes of greatness. They just talk about him because he's on the Chiefs and plays with Patrick Mahomes, basically. And he really has been a complete and utter bust since they drafted him. And they have yet to address the running back position. And so I really actually kind of see them offensively being mediocre, and then I also see them on the defensive side of the ball being probably one of the worst in the league. So I'm not expecting much from the Chiefs, other than an up and down season. I'm giving them 8 wins because of the Patrick Mahomes factor, because I do respect him, and he's a great player, so he's definitely going to get them wins, and he's definitely going to have some good games. But it's going to be interesting to see how this offense is able to evolve without Tyreek Hill, because none of the receivers on the roster can do what Tyreek Hill did. I mean, Tyreek Hill was fast, he was shifty, and that was kind of his game. And so I really actually see the Chiefs having a very down year. And I don't think a lot of people see it that way, but they really didn't make any improvements this offseason to make me think that they're going to be a good team. And then to top it off, they're in this stacked division. And I just think it's going to bite them in the ass. So I actually think the Chiefs are going to have a pretty awful year, especially compared to the last few seasons. So I will make my playoff predictions on Monday's show. I will break it all down with each and every division winner, each and every round, all the way down to who I think is going to win the Super Bowl. So that's going to be Monday's show. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.